So we have been looking at the Beatitudes for a good while now. We have concluded the Beatitudes, but continue on with this sermon that Jesus Christ preached upon the Mount. And now he comes in verse 13 and makes that great statement, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Comes then to verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." So Christian, this is not God saying you should be these things. You are. If you are not the salt and you are not the light, there is no salt, there is no light. This is what a Christian is. This is what they do. This is our purpose in the world. God left us here to be salt and light. So we know from last week, salt does what? In the context of the day in which this is written. Like I said, we go home, we put salt over our dinner to make it taste better. And there is no doubt you could apply that to the people of God. We are supposed to be here to make the world more pleasant. But the main purpose in the context here is to stop meat from rotting. That's the idea. To stop sin. Because rotting, all those things, is a result of the fall, a result of sin. And when the meat is rotting, what you do is you put it in salt and it stops the putrefying. It stops the meat being spoiled. That's the Christian's job. Does that mean that we're looking for a worldwide utopia? Well, no, we're not going to get that because the world has fallen. Our purpose is to prevent the marching forward of sin, to take a stand. But also, there's a positive aspect to the people of God here. Not only do we prevent sin, but we're supposed to shed light upon the world. It's not only the matter of taking a stand and saying no to this sin, I want to do all I can to prevent it. We're also standing there to show the right way, to show the truth, to be a light in a dark place, exposing, yes, error, but directing in the way of truth. There's plenty of darkness, men and women, in Larne. I might talk about darkness here. And as our text talks about darkness, it's specifically referring to the human race. There's desperate darkness. Individuals who are dark, and what do I mean by that? It means they're darkened as to their understanding. They don't realize. So many in our town, they just don't get it that they will have to pay a penalty for their sin. They just don't sense the severity and the reality that every day they sin against God, they're heaping up, as it were, a penalty that someday they will have to endure. That's hell forevermore. They seem to be in darkness as regards to the judgment that is before them, the danger they are actually in. That's the reality. But furthermore, darkness brings misery. When you and I live in contradiction to God's word and God's way, brings misery. You and I know that. You and I know that. If you went out today and you did what might be viewed in our estimation as a small sin, you might get away with it, you think. But you and I know fine rightly, sin always has consequences and it always has an effect. You go out and commit, as far as our measurement goes, a great sin. And you're caught in the act of sin and it has massive ramifications upon your life. You and I know full well, whatever degree of sin, it always has an effect, implications. Sin brings misery. And so for our town, there's much darkness, people living in sin, and that's why there is so much misery. You and I will have plenty of problems in life without making more problems for ourselves. There are problems that will come across our way that are out of our control. But there are problems that we can bring upon ourselves with our sinful behavior. But for the Christian, we're called to be a shaft of light in this dark world. And I love that. I love that phrase. It's not original with me. The child of God is supposed to be like a shaft of light. And you understand what that means. Let's say you're in a dark dungeon. And all of a sudden, somebody above opens a trap door. And through that trapdoor beams a shaft of light. That's what we're supposed to be. And when you're in a dungeon, you'll want to go to the light. It's attractive. It illuminates everything. That's where you want to be. Like our text this morning says, it's verses 14 right through to 16, but verse 16, it says there, Christian, let your light so shine before men, that ye may see, that they may see your good works and glorify you. Doesn't say that, sure doesn't. I don't know. Your light is supposed to shine so that people can see your life and see your good works and through that glorify God. That's very important. We have a celebrity lifestyle out there. And when you're in the celebrity realm of work, they'll say to you when you're going on stage, go out and shine. Do your very best. Perform well. Shine. And people will honor you for it. They will glorify you for it. They will worship you for it. That's not the job of the Christian. We don't shine so that people think how wonderful we are. We shine so that people wonder at how magnificent God is. That's very important this morning. That's why we often pray here. May man, you know, if someone's coming to the pulpit, preacher or whoever, we often pray, may man be hid behind the cross. May none be seen save Jesus only. That ought to be the Christian life. With our neighbors, with our work colleagues, with our families. We're not here to get personal praise. We're here to bring glory to God. So, with those few introductory observations, let's just consider that in more detail. What it is to be the light of the world. Firstly, it's important to note that the world is in spiritual darkness. That's where we have to start here. The world is like someone stuck in a dungeon. You can't see. You don't know how to get out. You don't know the dangers that are there. When you're thrown into a dungeon, there may be things in the place. There can be, whether it's rats or falls or damp or dangers, whatever the case may be. You don't know what's there. And that's very much a good description of our town. If you go back with me again to the book of Ephesians, let's go there. Ephesians. And the chapter 4. Read it with you first of all. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's go to the verse 17. Ephesians 4 and the verse 17. And it says there, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity, the emptiness, the darkness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's some serious language there. Maybe even could be perceived as insulting. But the Lord's laying it down in the clearest language possible, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. You can't see. Alienated. That means an utter stranger. You know, when you and I, when you and I talk about aliens, but that never really happens. But when people talk about aliens, they mean a stranger to this world. That's what an alien is, a stranger to this world. And when you have the word alien or stranger in the Bible, that's the idea. They're a foreigner, they're different, they don't know our ways. And that's the idea of verse 18. When you're unsaved, born in sin, your understanding's darkened, you're alienated, a stranger. You've no comprehension of what it is to be living with God, sins forgiven, the joy of knowing that I am a friend of God, He's a friend of mine, even when things go bad, I know there's a God who is working all things out for His glory and for our good. It's an awful thing to be darkened.
not see this, and alienated from the life with God, talks about the ignorance that is in them. That's not meant to be insulting. You and I might say to someone, you're ignorant, and may be an insult, but the word itself isn't meant to be an insult. It's a fact. Ignorance just means you don't know. You don't know what it is to be saved. No experience. And so the end of verse 18, it describes the fallen condition as blindness. Blindness of their hearts. Just unable to see. And that's the idea. The world is full of individuals like this. Full of them. That's the way it's been from Cain right to this day. Many people living in darkness. This world, men and women, is full of darkness. And as I will elaborate on in a moment or two's time, men love this darkness. They love the darkness. That's why they continue to walk in it. So we have a world full of darkness. You can look at Luke chapter 22 and the verse 53 there, and that verse speaks about the power of darkness. Luke 22:53 makes the observation that there is a kingdom, that there is a devil, and his main objective is to spread the darkness. I'm not sure how familiar you are, maybe with some movies that are out there, and you don't have to be familiar with them. You'll know fine, right? There's plenty of stuff out there, whether it's books or films, whatever, and they talk about the darkness that comes in. And the darkness is never a good thing. It's always the power of evil coming along and it engulfs somewhere in darkness, and it's always negative. And that's the idea of that verse in Luke. There is a powerful force which comes in and spreads the darkness. The devil's the driving force. He's the one who wants to keep men in darkness so that they will not see God. But just to even a little bit more elaborate what we mean by this world being in darkness. Sometimes there may be a function in the family. Something that's been arranged, or maybe there's some fact in your family and nobody told you about it. What do we say? There's a saying that simply this, we were kept in the dark. We didn't know about that family event. We didn't know about that family fact. We were kept in the dark. It just means there's a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge, a lack of truth. But we're in Ephesians. If you just turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 5, the passage which we read a minute or two ago. And here's the glorious thing, Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 8. It says there, that's the verse that we read, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Talking about the believer. You used to be in darkness, but now you're in the light. You see, I want to encourage you, unbeliever, there's a way out of darkness. And the way out of the darkness is Christ. But ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and in truth. And can I just emphasize there, here's our study been tied together this morning. We thought about the fruit of the Spirit, these Beatitudes. These are the evidences that you are a child of light. You will possess the fruit of the Spirit. You will have these Beatitudes. Now walk according to them. You know that God has planted within you the fruit of peacefulness, the fruit of love. Don't do the absolute opposite. Don't allow your flesh to direct you. May the Spirit of God that is in you direct you. So, as believers, we are called to be lights in a very dark world. Now, you and I know full well that the world, by and large, doesn't see itself as being in darkness. The world speaks about being enlightened. We have eras in our history, the 18th century, years of the Enlightenment. And mankind has, and it is true, made great advancements in science and in philosophy and in the arts, and we made great advancements in technology and in medical realms. There's no doubt we know an awful lot more now about the sea below the earth, the sky above the earth, about the makeup of the earth. We know an awful lot more now than we did several centuries ago. But there's one problem. And as Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it, it's very, very helpful. Here's what he says. All our intellectual advancement is in the knowledge of things. Everything we've learned is in the knowledge of things. How things work. How things grow. How things can be killed, like disease or whatever the case may be. We've made no advancements on our knowledge of God. No advancements in what happens to us after we die. No advancements in that whole enlightenment area on how to be holy, on how to make peace with God. Made no progress in that whatsoever. All our knowledge is in the realms of things. That's why after the Enlightenment age, there was two world wars. That's why there was a Holocaust. That's why there's still violence and robbery and local wars. Why? Because intellectual advancement is not man's greatest need. We don't need to be more educated. Men and women, we need a new nature. That's the difference. There's no light within us. When we're born, we're darkened, we're sinful. That's just the fact. That's just the reality. That's why you can be super educated, yet live in immorality. That's why you can be an intellectual genius, yet promote war. Because your morals hasn't changed. God hasn't saved you. You're still the same old creature in need of a new nature. But God says, I am the one who can shine light into your darkened soul and make you a new creature. I want you to get that particularly this morning. It's a burden of this message. I believe it's not men and women. You need to be better educated. You need a new nature. God is not in the business just of renovating you. God isn't in the business of giving you a textbook and tells you go and do your best. No, God doesn't renovate you. God changes you. Makes you a new person. That's the gospel. Well, we live in a dark world. And we are supposed to be those who are light in a dark world as believers. When God does change you, as we read there in Ephesians, for ye were sometimes, or you used to be darkness, but now you're the children of light. Well, then walk as the children of light. The world is dark. We live in it. We ought to serve God there as best we can and be, like I said, that shaft of light. But secondly, this morning, I want you to see something also important. Not only is the world in darkness, but you and I both know that Christ is the light of the world. Yet that verse says that we are supposed to be the light of the world. Yet you and I know, ultimately, Christ is the only one who is the light of the world. If you turn with me to John's Gospel, it's a lovely little verse, and worthwhile reading this morning. John's Gospel, the chapter 8, and the verse 12. It says there, Christ is speaking, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a lovely verse. Do you see what it's saying? You see, God, Jesus Christ, is the light. But when Christ enters in, you and I become little lights. Let's think about that for a minute. Let's take a light bulb. You could have a room full of light bulbs, but it could still be pitch dark in the room. Because there's all the difference in the world between a light bulb and light. I've said to you before in Genesis 1, where you have the record of creation, And early on in creation, it says God made light. And then later on, it says God made the sun. And people say, well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Well, it's not. Because light is very different from the sun. They're two different things. The sun is a burning ball of gas. And that burning ball of gas radiates light. All right. Like a light bulb. A light bulb in and of itself will do you no good in a dark place. But once you plug it in, it radiates light. So think about this for a minute. You and I were like light bulbs. We don't shine. There's no light in us whatsoever. There's just darkness. And you can put us into a dark room and we would have no impact and we would be of no help to anyone. But then when God comes in, when the light of the world enters into you, well, what happens with a light bulb? Once the electricity is there, once the energy is there, that light bulb radiates the light that's in it. That's what we're doing. We radiate Christ that is in us. We're showing forth what God is. You see, He makes us little light bearers. We are little light bulbs. We are not the light. But Christ, who is the light in us, enables us to be light to this dark world. Furthermore, if you go back to our text, we were in John 8 there, but if you go back to Matthew, men and women, you see the Great Commission there again in Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 14. It says, ye are the light of the world, of the whole world. And here's the idea, that God has set little lights everywhere in the world. And so wherever you go, whether it's Larne or Belfast, or whether you're going to some other country in India, you might go to Australia, there's little light bulbs everywhere. And so as little lights, we are here to light the world and to expose the darkness and to show all the sin that's there. You see, it is a reality that when you're saved, God literally dwells in you. It's a marvelous thing. There's a great subject there of our union with Christ, that when Christ, through His Spirit, enters into us, we become like Him. There's that wonderful union between the Christian and God. 2 Timothy 1:14, it says, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. We become the lights of the world for the glory of God. And so think about that. You and I know what it's like to have a light bulb, but it's loosely connected into its socket and it flickers. It's annoying. You know, you're glad to have a light in the room to shed light, for sure. But when that light bulb isn't fully and properly connected, it's flickering and it's annoying. It's irritating. But you and I don't want to be like that. We want to be walking close with the Lord. And the more full you are of Christ, the more bright you will be, the brighter you will be, the more light you will radiate. And so for you and me, like we were singing earlier on there, let's not be full of sin. If you have a light bulb and it's covered in dirt, you go out and you roll it in the mud, it won't show as much light because the dirt's there. And so it's so important. What's that chorus we often sing about channels of blessing? You cannot be channels of blessing if you constantly trifle with sin. A burden you'll be and a hindrance to those you're seeking to win. Oh, sin ruins the witness and hinders the shining of the light. The more Christ-like we are, the more brightly we will burn. Very quickly here, thirdly, the third important thing to note is that it's silly to switch on a light and cover it. Stupid. To put on your light and cover it with a big blanket. That's what Christ is saying here. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's the idea. Neither do men, verse 15, light a candle and put it under a bushel. and on a candlestick, and that giveth light unto all that are in the house. The idea here is, why would you light a candle and hide it? I was thinking about that verse, you know. It makes great sense, of course. You're a Christian. God has set you here to be a light. Why would you hide that you're a Christian? Why would you want to burn as low as possible? Why would you want to live in secret for Christ? Why would you want to do that? It's just bizarre. The Word of God says it makes no sense. You don't light a candle and want to hide it. And listen, God isn't going to hide you. He lit you up for you to burn, for you to radiate light. It's wrong for us to hide the light. What if you're in a country where there's hard persecution? A country where you will lose your life from being a Christian, that will be a hard verse to read. And you wake up in God's day, Sunday morning, and you read your light should shine, and you have to, you know before God, I have to let my light shine. And you'll pay your life for that. Well, it's easy for you and me to read this morning. It's not easy for people around the world. We should certainly not, in these days where there is opportunity to shine for God, we should not be hesitant to shine as bright as we possibly can for God before the persecution does come. And maybe our children, our grandchildren will not have the privileges we do. And they'll ask, why did my forefathers not shine brighter when they could? So we're called to shine in all circumstances, to be a light that is clear to see. And you know, the verse 15 there speaks about the bushel. It doesn't really matter what a bushel is. We could put in the word blanket if you want. The idea is taking an object and hiding the light. And be sure of this, believer. If there's somehow you can hide your light, if there's something you can do to cover your light, it's the devil who's given it to you. Not God. God has designed you to shine. The devil wants you to be as dim as possible. Every bushel is the devil's gift to you and I. Just in conclusion then this morning, we are called to be the light. We are called to burn bright. But there's one big problem. Not in regards to our burning bright. We want to burn bright so that men and women find their way to Christ. But the problem you'll find is in John 3, in the verse 18. John 3, and I want you to turn there, and here we'll close. John 3, in the verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. We want to shine bright. We want people to see and glorify God. But the reality is this. Many will see you shine and hate you for it. You may shine the truth on someone. Show them that God loves you. And God's here to save you. And what do they do? They run a mile. Frustrating. But why do people run from the light? Why do people flee from the daylight into the darkness? Simply because they love the darkness. They love their sin. And that's why people are not saved. That verse gives us the conclusive answer. Why is your loved ones not saved? Why are you not saved? It's simply because you love your sin. You love darkness more than light. And you have a problem. If you love darkness more than light, if you love sin more than Christ, you are on the broad road and you're heading to hell. And the only thing that can help you is God. You confess it. Lord, I love my sin. And I can't shake this. Give me a new nature. I don't want educated. I don't want to be smarter. I want to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And help me to hate the things I love. And love the things that I hate. It is God who brings the light into any individual. And it is God who enables us to shine for Him. But believer, know this. You are the light of the world. There is no other light. It's you. And God has placed you where you are to be a light. There's not going to be light there except you shine. And for those of you who are not saved this morning, you call upon God that He would shine into the depths of your soul and bring you to Christ that you might enjoy the daylight of being Christ's. Let's take our hymn books. We'll close the hymn 519. 519. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore, but to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. So you understand this. The hymn here is about you and me shining for the Lord. Bright beams God's love, but He calls us to be the little light burners that people may find Him. There's only three verses. We'll sing all three, please.